Well, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Glad you chose to be here. I know when it's a long weekend, we usually anticipate fewer people in church, but maybe y'all are watching online as well. This morning, we're actually looking at work and laziness. Our first passage is from Proverbs chapter 10, and I'll read verse 4 and 5, and then principally we'll be in Proverbs chapter 24. Idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches. The son who gathers during summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during harvest is disgraceful. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever known anyone who was absolutely and truly lazy? Ever known such a person? I'm not talking someone who sits on a sofa on Saturday afternoon and watches endless golf and football and hockey. We call that person Dad. I call him Baxter. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who is just absolutely lazy and is so lazy they can't even get out of their own way. Well, the Bible actually has a lot to say about work and laziness. We've just read a couple verses, but if you look at Proverbs 24... the writer of Proverbs observes something and then put it down for posterity. In verse 30, he says, I went by the field of a slacker and by the vineyard of one lacking sense. The Bible connects laziness or being a slacker with lacking sense, with not really having a bright or proper outlook on life. And if you connect those two realities, they really do make sense. The lazy person has not properly examined life and understood the way things work. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting through this sermon that by our own initiative, by our own effort, by our own labor, we are guaranteed a better life. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I will guarantee you, you are more likely to arrive at a life worth living through hard work than through absolute laziness. So that's where we're going with this. I went by the field of a slacker and by the vineyard of one lacking sense. Thistles had come up everywhere, weeds covered the ground, and the stone wall was ruined. This guy, as a farmer with his vineyard, experienced absolute failure. It didn't work, all right? Absolutely didn't work. Let me ask you the question. What does it take for weeds to grow? Really? It takes nothing? No. You think about it. It actually takes a whole lot for weeds to grow. This guy had every opportunity for success. He had fertile ground with which to work. He even had a protection around his vineyard so that wild animals wouldn't come in and steal or trample what was growing. He had opportunity, fertile soil, and protection. You think of the opportunity. He had a field. He had a vineyard. He had every opportunity to do something with this life. I would contend that each one of us have something. We all have life. We all have energy. We all have 24 hours in a day. What differentiates the lazy person from the worker, from someone who has failed to someone who has succeeded, largely is contingent on effort. Now, I know that there are different blessings that come in, and some of us are born with the proverbial silver spoon in our mouth, but by and large, the difference between a farm that works and a farm that fails is a farmer that is willing to work every opportunity to make a success of this farm. He had fertile ground, and let me argue that it doesn't take nothing to grow a weed. In fact, it takes the same thing to grow little nasties in your garden as it does to grow things that you actually want. It takes fertile soil where the chemical properties are going to actually feed nutrients into the roots of the plant. It takes rain and it takes sun. Photosynthesis has to happen whether you're growing a weed, a thistle, or an apple tree, or a stalk of wheat. The difference is one is harvested and planned, and the other one just happens by nature. If you have a driveway, you know what I'm talking about. You can pressure wash your driveway. You can get that little nozzle down into the crack so that nothing is coming out. And 2 months later, what's happened? You've got an apple tree growing out of your garden, right? Out of your driveway, right? No, you've got a weed growing. You're not going to grow an apple tree in your garden. I don't know why it is that only weeds and thistles and thorns grow where we don't want them, but the same soil and the same sun and the same rain that causes crops to grow are what's necessary for weeds to grow. At the corner of our house, when we go walking each morning, there is something strange taking place. Carolyn's not here, so I can say this. In the gutter, you're talking 8 feet, 9 feet in the air. In the gutter, I have not cleaned out the leaves for probably 2 years on the corner of that house. What happens with leaves and sun and rain? They break down. It's becoming soil. Now we've got this stalk. I have no idea what it is, but it's this big green thing growing up out of the gutter on the corner of the house, and it's got to be 24 inches long. I didn't plant it. I didn't sow. I didn't water. I didn't make the sun shine on it, but all of those properties were happening, and it grew. What took place is lazy bones didn't take the ladder to the corner of the house and clean out the gutters. Cleaned out the front of the house, cleaned out the side of the house. I didn't clean out the back corner of the house. I thought, I'll skip that. And by skipping it, now I'm dealing with the embarrassment of walking by and seeing something growing out of our gutters. Now, fortunately, no one can see it from the road, so I really don't care about it. But it drives Carolyn crazy every time we walk by. I'm waiting for it to become a tree before I remove it, just to see if Carolyn will drag the ladder out on her own. This guy had every opportunity for success. He was dealing with fertile ground. He even had protection for his farm. There was a wall in place to prevent things coming in and trampling and taking away and eating what he was growing. But he allowed the wall to get to a state of disrepair. The only thing that this farmer didn't have was a work ethic. He was lazy, and his laziness contributed to his absolute failure. He didn't want to get up in the morning and pull weeds. He didn't want any cuts on his hands from getting those thorns out of the ground. He didn't want calluses from picking up those rocks and rebuilding the wall. He was lazy. And his farm failed not because God didn't provide grace. The sun kept shining. The rain kept falling. The chemical properties in the earth kept doing what it was doing to allow the weeds to grow. God was still sovereign over that guy's farm. He just failed to engage in his responsibility. He failed completely. We are made to work. I was preparing the lesson for Tuesday morning's Bible study over the Old Testament, and the first lesson is going to be on creation. And in looking at the creation narratives again, one of the things you recognize is when God created, he created humankind and then immediately gave us work to do. Name the animals, be stewards over the garden, have dominion over the world that God made. God worked and made the world. He made us in his image and likeness. And I think something about the image of God has to pertain to work. Because immediately after working and making the world, he gives us the responsibility to work and to tend to what he has already created. We are made to work. And we derive great things from our labor. We get a paycheck. A farmer gets a field full of crops that can then feed a family and feed many other families. But there's more to work than what we get from our labor. I would contend that somehow work is important because what we become through our work. There's something about working and working diligently that we as workers are actually transformed through the process of our labor. I love working with wood. I have a little wood shop out in the back of my house, and I've got the lathe and the saws and drills and all that kind of stuff, all kinds of hand tools. And I absolutely love making furniture and pots and bowls and cups and pens and you name it, and I'll make it. And I love taking the raw wood that someone brings me. I have friends that bring me wood all the time. A tree falls in their property, and they'll get a chainsaw and chop it up and bring it over to me, and I'll take the wood and I'll dry it in my shop, and then I'll cut it to form, and then I'll leave it for several months and let it dry out. And then I'll take the wood and transform it into something else. But through the process of working on this wood, I recognize that I'm actually working on me. Because I see in the process of labor my own faults and deficiencies. I don't know if you know this, but my family will highly attest that I am the world's least patient person. I am incredibly impatient. And guess what? You cannot be a woodworker and be impatient. You've got to let the wood dry, because if you don't deal with dry wood, it will all come apart as it just flexes and stretches and shrinks. You're going to waste all the labor that you did if you don't deal with dry wood. So I cut the wood, I put it up, and I leave it for months on end until I put the moisture meter to it and it's ready for me to work it. Then I'll shape it and I'll glue the pieces together. And if you don't wait for the glue to dry when you're putting pieces together, as soon as you try to work with them, guess what you have? A bunch of sticks with glue all over them. It won't hold. You've got to let the glue dry, and it drives me batty. I've got a really nice couple things in my workshop right now. I've got a clock with all different pieces of wood that I've put together. I've got to wait for the glue to dry. I've got a cutting board made out of 4 different types of wood. I've got to wait for the glue to dry. It drives me nuts. I want to start working. I want to start sanding. I want to start doing all that I can to get to the finished product, but I can't. I've got to wait and do things step by step by step. And in working this wood, I'm also working on me. I'm able to see my character flaws. I'm able to work them out. There's another character flaw. I'm admitting way too much this morning. I have another character flaw. I hate seeing imperfections. I don't know if I'm OCD or what, but if I've glued something up and there's a little fine gap where there's not enough glue, you starve the joint, I have to start over. I'll either put more glue in until I fix it, or I'll take what I was working on and throw it in the trash and start over, because it drives me crazy to know that I've got something that isn't perfect. If I'm working on my lathe and turning a bowl and my gouges take a little bit too much wood out, I've got to get it all down to the point that it's like glass, or I'll take it off the lathe and throw it in the garbage and start with a new piece of wood. If I'm sanding and I've got a rough spot, I will keep sanding and sanding and sanding until it's absolutely smooth. It drives me nuts to know that there's an imperfection in it. What does that say about me and my character and maybe what God is working out in my life? It's not just what we get from it, but who we become through it that gives value and importance to our work. And then the final product is, I've taken something that had very little value, firewood maybe, and now through a lot of hours and a lot of dedication, I've now got something that has form and function, where otherwise there was no form and there was no function. So now there's a table that has beauty because I made it, or someone is using a pen or using a bowl that I made, and there's something beautiful because of the work that I put into it. And folks, that's what God does in our lives. God uses work and labor to transform us into something beautiful and functional in His purposes. You think about the spiritual ramifications of work versus laziness. I would contend that if you are a lazy Christian, then spiritually speaking, you are a failed Christian. You are a weak Christian. Salvation is free. I understand that we do not earn salvation on any level. It is a free gift of God through grace in Jesus Christ, and all we can do is receive it through belief. But folks, once we believe in Jesus Christ, there's a lot of work to be done. Didn't Jesus say, take up your cross daily and follow me? Folks, that's work. It's hard work stepping in the footsteps of the perfect Son of God. It's hard work turning our back on our old sinful lives and obediently following Christ's call on our lives. It's hard work for us to love people that we consider unlovable. This is all hard stuff. It is not easy to be a follower, a faithful follower of Jesus. And yet that's what's commanded. And when we are faithful followers of Jesus, what we find out is, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God is transforming us. Unfortunately, far too often, we let the walls fall down in our own lives. We let the weeds take over and the thorns and the thistles come up. And the garden of our life is not very pleasing to the Lord. The garden of our life, the product of our life is not very fruitful to God's kingdom. And what God wants from each one of us is for us to work the garden, to pull the weeds, to get rid of the thorns and the thistles, to rebuild the walls of protection so that things don't come in and trample and rob and ruin. And instead, so that the garden of our life becomes beautiful and fragrant for God's high and holy purposes. And I, for one, want a life that God looks down on and says, well done. Well done. Doesn't that imply that I've done something? Well done. Doesn't that mean that I've worked at something? Well done, good and faithful servant. Doesn't a servant listen to and employ the will of the master? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Doesn't that mean that I was working? I want to hear at the end of my life, well done, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well done in making something fragrant and beautiful of your life. Well done, good and faithful worker. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend because it now stretches for eternity. I want God to be pleased with the stuff of my life, not just at the end of my life, but with every day of my life. I want the stuff of my life to actually build up God's kingdom. And I pray that you will join me in that work. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for creating us in your image and likeness and then immediately giving us work to do. And God, we know that the work that we do varies tremendously from person to person. Some of us are educators, and some of us are attorneys, and some of us own and operate businesses, and some of us work in assembly lines, and some of us are firefighters and nurses and doctors. And Lord, we do all sorts of different things for our daily labor. And we get different benefits from it, but ultimately what we get from our labor is who we become by it. And Lord, you want us to be pliable in your hands. You want to be the potter and to transform each one of us into the woman or man that you want us to be. And you want to make something beautiful and fragrant and useful out of our lives for your kingdom. So God, we do indeed surrender to your will. We ask that you would forgive us for those times when we have not tended to our garden, where we have allowed thorns and thistles and weeds to grow and to run amok. Forgive us for not keeping the protective barrier around us, but instead to allow different forces to come in and trample the good that you would want grown within us. And allow us, Lord, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit that we can indeed work on our lives, that we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that we can turn from our sin, and through your Holy Spirit that you can make something beautiful and wonderful, fragrant, and purposeful from the stuff of our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.